Please open your Bibles again with me to Mark chapter 4. As I prepared this message this last week, my mind went back to the very first gospel music record album I ever purchased. I was 12 years old and not yet a Christian. I didn't know I was not yet a Christian at the time. The title of the album was Peace in the Valley. In the title song, the singer sang about the trials of loneliness and being tired, but looking forward to peace in the valley when he gets to heaven. Then I remembered another song on that album that has continued to be one of my favorites. And here are some of the words. Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on, help me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. The theme of this morning's message is how God leads us through the storms of life into the ultimate peace in the valley. We will look first at Mark chapter 4, 35 to 41, and then draw out of there certain lessons for us today through the storms of life we go through, including this international storm of the coronavirus. The setting is this. This is still relatively early in the ministry of our Lord Jesus, and he has just been preaching in parables, verse 1. And then, as the day is drawing to an end, he says, let's go over to the other side, here in verse 35. And he has been teaching in an unusual pulpit. He's in a small boat on the just outside the shore, preaching to the crowds. And he says to his disciples, let's cross over to the other side of the sea. Everybody goes back home. Other ones get in some other boats and follow them as they cross over the sea. Verse 36. Now they're in a small fishing boat, and at least four of the apostles with Jesus had been fishermen. Peter, James, John, and Andrew. So there they are crossing over at night. And then verse 37 says, suddenly a very powerful storm arose. Now the fishermen there had seen that before, and they never wanted to go through it. But this caught them off guard, because it was at night, and fishermen usually didn't fish at night unless they absolutely had to. But they were frequent on the Sea of Galilee. Just next to the sea are these two mountain ranges with a deep canyon between them, and as the temperature changes when the sun goes down and it gets cooler, this wind comes rustling through the canyon across the Sea of Galilee very suddenly. And that had happened before. In fact, it still happens today. So the storm comes and the sails are about to break on the fishing boats. And the waves are filling the boat. It says that they're afraid that the little boats might even sink. So it's panicking. Some of them that are not fishermen may be seasick. It's at night, so they have no lights. They don't see anything. They're probably trying to row as fast as they can to where they think the closest shore is. And the other boats could not help them because they were in the same predicament. Just like when we're going through something, other people are in the same predicament. And there's no radio. There was no Coast Guard to phone and ask for help. It was too far for them to swim. And besides, in a storm, they wouldn't want to swim. They didn't have life jackets. And in such an emergency, their adrenaline would be pumping and they would be yelling and screaming. Can you see Peter taking charge? James, hoist that sail. John, do this. You start rowing. Bartholomew, start bailing water. And they were in desperation. Heavy breathing. Fear. Panic. Maybe you've been in a situation where you thought, it looks like I'm going to die unless I do something. And then they looked around and they wondered, where is Jesus? So they went down below, verse 38, and there's Jesus down there, fast asleep on a pillow. Notice the detail, there was even a pillow there. He was at peace, seemingly ignorant of what's happening topside and all around them. And so they come to him and wake him up, and they rebuke him, as it were. Don't you care for us? Verse 38, don't you care that we are perishing? Well, when Matthew's accounted, they say, Lord, help us, we are perishing, we're drowning. So they go to the right place, but they're kind of rebuking him. Verse 39, Jesus rises up and gets out on the deck. Now just picture the scene, the storm at night, people panicking, screaming out, either cursing or praying, or maybe a mixture of the two. People do that in an emergency. And there's Jesus standing there with the wind blowing through his hair and the rain and the sea that's blowing up there is all over his face and in his clothes. And they're wondering, what's he going to do? Well, he took authority like a captain in a ship. And he spoke to the wind and the rain. And he says, peace, be still. Perhaps in Hebrew he said, shalom, be still. Word be still means be quiet, be muzzled, like you would say to a dog as you put your hand on its mouth. Be quiet, be muzzled. We're not told in Matthew, Mark, or Luke if he shouted it or if he just whispered it. It doesn't matter because he spoke with the voice of authority, just like he spoke to the demons when they cast them out, and they were always left. When he spoke to disease or death, he always had the voice of power. This was the power of his word and the word of his power. And I'm sure the apostles wondered, well, what are you doing? And then suddenly the storm stopped. Immediately, we're told. And it went perfectly calm. It says a great calm fell upon them. It's what you would call a loud quiet. It was like waking up from a nightmare, and all of a sudden everything is peaceful and quiet. You could have heard a whisper, maybe off in the distance a seagull. You could have heard your own heartbeat. Peace everywhere, and I'm sure they felt this is eerie. Just like from a massive storm and fear and loud noise, and all of a sudden perfect quiet. Look out over the Sea of Galilee, and it was like a pane of glass, not a single wave, no wind. You could have dropped a feather and it would have gone straight down. Moments ago, they were terrified and now they're perplexed. Nature always obeys God. Have you ever thought about that? When Jesus stopped the storms and these other things, even when Jesus wasn't on earth, nature always obeys God. There are no sinning dogs or trees or birds. So when Jesus spoke, this was the voice of God's authority, and it obeyed him, unlike humanity that does not always obey him. Look what he says in verse 40. He said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Now, these are two rhetorical questions that are not demanding an answer, but he's challenging them to think about it. It's as if he said, you should have had faith. If you had had faith, you would not have had fear. Faith is greater than fear. Why did you fear if you knew I was on board? Is because you didn't have enough faith. Oh, you that are of little faith. They should have paused to think how they would answer those two questions. How would you have answered if you had been on the boat and Jesus had turned to you and said, why were you afraid? Good question. Why are we afraid in any storm of life? And he says, how is it that you had no faith? Why didn't you turn to God? Why didn't you turn to me? Penetrating questions. Christ meant that if they had had faith, they would not have had fear, because faith is greater than fear. Now look how the story concludes. Verse 41. And they feared exceedingly. Stop right there. They had just been afraid for their lives because of the storm. Storm's over. Why are they still afraid? They are afraid of Jesus. By the way, this gives a lie to the idea that Jesus was just sort of a little peaceful hippie with carrying a lamb and wouldn't hurt a fly. Look how often in the Bible it says people were afraid of Jesus. Why were they afraid of Jesus on this occasion? He had just stopped the storm, and that shows that he is more powerful than the storm. And so I like to picture that when Jesus stopped the storm and turned to them and asked the questions, they all backed off and the little boat kind of tipped to one side with the apostles on one side and Jesus on the other. They backed away. They were exceedingly afraid. It's like picture yourself walking down the street and here comes a big angry dog runs right up to you snarling with his teeth showing and you're afraid of him and all of a sudden he turns and runs away with his tail between his legs. And you turn around and you don't see another dog, you see a lion growling. And that's what scared that dog away. You are now more afraid of the lion than you were of the dog. Even so, these men, some of which had been fishermen, were now more afraid of Jesus than they were of the storm. There's a big lesson in that. Fear of God, you won't fear anything in nature or in man. And so they ask this question now, who can this be? What sort of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? What kind of man indeed? They're wondering he's a man because we just saw him tired and sleeping down below. What kind of man is that can come up here and stop? He had never stopped the storm before. Nobody had ever done that. What kind of man is this? We had seen him heal, cast out demons by the hundreds. And now, what kind of man is this? You see, early in his ministry, Jesus didn't always come out and tell them who he was. And when he did, it went right by them. So he's dropping clues. What sort of person could stop a storm? Not just another man. Certainly not weathermen or magicians. Only one could do this, and that's God. God alone has the power over nature. They should have known their Bibles. They should have known these verses from Psalm 107. Let me read them to you. 107, starting in verse 23. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. He commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. Their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man. That's probably how those fishermen felt. And are at their wits' end. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet, and he guides them to their desired haven. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. So these Jewish apostles and the other ones in the other boats should have realized this is God that's with us, not just another man. They should have put two and two together. No man can stop a storm. You've heard the old saying of attributed to Mark Twain. He says, everybody talks about the weather, but nobody does anything about it. God does. He can stop it. He can send it. He can calm it down. Years ago, the television evangelist Pat Robertson, based on the shores of the Atlantic Ocean over there in Virginia, said that there was a hurricane coming his way, and he went out to the beach and commanded it to turn away, and he said that it went north and then went back into the Atlantic Ocean. I don't believe that. No mere man can do this. The Greeks talked about one of their kings, King Canute, that was so powerful it went to his head, and so he decided to show off, and he took his entourage down to the seashore. Here come the waves onto the shore. And so he commanded them. He says, stop right there. But the waves didn't obey him. They just kept coming up. And I'm sure his entourage tried to stop their laughing. No man can stop it. But God can. And notice something else. This is where you compare scripture with scripture. These Jews should have realized when he said, peace be still, that's an echo of another thing in the Bible that God said. Psalm 46:10, God said, "Be still and know that I am God." So when Jesus said, "Be still," and it was still, they should have realized this is God in the flesh in our midst. Only God could do this. Like what R.C. Sproul has said when he preached on this. He said there were probably skeptics that saw Jesus heal and do these other miracles. And they probably said, well, the person really wasn't sick. Or it was psychosomatic and Jesus comforted them and then it looked like he healed them. Or he was a traveling doctor and gave them medicine. Or these were only rumors and that person wasn't really demon possessed. He just went into a fit. And so they make up these excuses and they say it's because Jesus could manipulate people. He could spin things and work on their emotions. And then Spohr says, and then he stops a storm. He says, would someone tell me, how do you reason with a storm? How do you try to manipulate a storm with soothing words or with medicine? You can't, but Jesus did. That's a good point. He did what only God could. So this was another blatant clue that Jesus Christ was and is God. And then the storm landed. The storm went away, they landed on the shore, and Jesus continued his ministry. And I'm sure none of the men that were in any of those little boats ever forgot this. I wonder if they told it to their wives and children. I wonder what they thought. Well, that's the story. And I want to draw some lessons out of this for us and the storms that we face, because there are principles here that we can apply in our lives. We face various storms, literal storms, financial storms, marital problems. And then this storm that we're going through right now, the coronavirus pandemic, and it's increasing every day. I looked at the AOL news last night and again this morning, and one leading news story was, major United States city prepares for the coronavirus storm. They're already saying it's like a storm that's blowing in and increasing. They don't know how long it'll last, but they say it hadn't peaked yet. We need to get ready and get provisions and be prepared for the worst. We don't know how long it'll last. It could peter out in a few weeks. It might last months. Maybe years. 100 years ago, the worst plague to hit America lasted almost 2 years, 1918 to 1920, the Spanish flu epidemic that killed hundreds of thousands of people in our country. We don't know how long this will last. And we ask, how do we act and how do we react? President, in other words, are trying to calm the people, but sometimes people in high places and in the media are saying they're afraid and it's stirring up panic. How do we as Christians act? Or are we men and women of faith or of fear? Do we have peace in this storm or do we panic? Are we like the disciples that are panicking because they have no faith? Or do we enjoy peace like Jesus who is asleep in the bottom of the ship? Now, like the disciples, we're all prone to panic. The fear of death. Hebrews 2 talks about the fear of death touches everybody sooner or later. When you're in a dangerous situation, a hospital bed, bad medical report, you're about to have a car crash or pandemic, it's very easy to say, this might be it. Is this my time? We're afraid of dying. It's natural. The Bible says the last enemy to be destroyed is death. But friends, as we see in this story, God is in control. He sent that storm. He could have prevented it. And he stopped it. God is in control. Weather is not outside the control of God Almighty. Some of us remember a popular Christian song in the 1970s. It says, here comes Jesus walking on the water. And then the chorus says, he's the master of the waves that roll. He showed it by stopping the storms, smoothing out the waves. He is still in control today. He has never changed. Bible says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the master. He sends storms. He prevents others for various reasons. As I said 2 weeks ago, why does he allow disasters, storms, plagues? Well, several reasons. One is to unbelievers, is to warn them of judgment and to draw them to repentance. If you're an unbeliever, please take the warning in the storm of this pandemic. You know, it was C.S. Lewis, I believe, that says that, you know, in our good times, God whispers to us. But in the bad times, he shouts to us. God is shouting to you, unbeliever, and saying, turn back to God. That's what God is saying to the United States of America, the United Kingdom, Italy, China, and around the world. Over 100 countries are experiencing this pandemic, and God is saying to all of them, do I have your attention? Turn back to me. Repent. Are you listening to God? I read about a young man in England almost 400 years ago, raised in a Christian family, going to church, but didn't have any assurance that he was ready to meet God, and occasionally he was afraid of dying and going to hell. So he decided to go to London to a certain church and hear a very famous preacher. So off he went. But the preacher was out of town that Sunday, so a visiting preacher, maybe one of the elders, filled in for him and preached on this section in the Bible. And he kept pressing that question, why are you so afraid? How is it that you have no faith? And that touched that young man. Why am I afraid of dying? If I had faith in Christ, I'd be ready to die. I wouldn't have to be afraid. And that worked on his heart for days, and then he believed in Jesus, and the fear of dying in hell faded away. He was a new man. He was a new man in Christ. Soon he became a preacher. Soon he became one of the great preachers amongst the Puritans. His name was John Owen, probably the greatest theologian that England knew, certainly at that time, maybe even since then. He later became the Vice Chancellor of the University of Oxford. But it gets back to this verse here, where he said, if I believe, then I would not have to be afraid. And he believed in Jesus. So if you're an unbeliever, follow that example. Ponder what Jesus asks you. Why are you afraid, you of little faith? Set your sail, the sail of your heart, toward Christ by repenting and believing. Secondly, to believers, God sends storms, literal storms and pandemics, to test our faith. These disciples in the boats, their faith was being tested. So he says, you have little faith. Not necessarily no faith, but little faith. We think that our faith increases in the good times. No, it increases in the bad times. When all we can do is simply trust God. Nowhere else to turn. To whom else can we go, O Lord? You have the words of eternal life. And we find that our faith is tested, but also strengthened. You know, I remember a conversation I had with a well-known preacher many years ago. And we were talking about this. We were talking about the trials he had gone through and that I had gone through. In fact, I was going through a trial then. And he said, you know, after this storm went, they were immediately on the shore. He says, Kirk, God can bring you through a trial just like that. And we noticed an interesting parallel and contrast between this story and the story of Jonah. Jonah was also in a ship, in a storm. Everybody topside was afraid, and Jonah was down below sleeping on a pillow. And the preacher says, Kirk, did you notice? God sent the storm to Jonah because of his disobedience. He was running from God, and this got his attention, eventually led him to repent. But the disciples here in Mark 4, the storm wasn't because of disobedience. It was because they obeyed Jesus. Jesus starts off there, verse 35, let's cross over to the other side. And they said, well, we'll go with you. The lesson that the preacher was sharing with me. And, you know, preachers were iron sharpening iron. And I said, yes, that's right. God sends us trials because we've obeyed him. He sends us chastening when we disobey him, but as we're sailing on our way to heaven, we can expect storms because we're obeying him. Maybe that applies to some of you today, the storm that you're going through in your life. Now again, my point is this. Jesus calmed the storm and gave it peace because he had been at peace at the bottom of the ship. We can have peace in the middle of any storm that we go through, including the coronavirus pandemic. We can have peace in our hearts. You see, God can either prevent storms, stop them when we're in them, or he can give us peace in the storm without stopping the storm. We can be at peace just like Jesus was. He had this peace before he stopped the storm, which tells us we can have peace in the storm when we're close to Jesus. He can either give us peace outside of us by stopping it, or peace within us when we're in a storm. Peace like Jesus had, who could lay down and go to sleep. It's as it were, God gives us promises that are a soft pillow that we can go to sleep at night on and say, I can trust God no matter what is happening. So we can be like Jesus and simply trust God. Peace prevents panic. Notice Jesus said to the storm, peace, shalom. Bible says he's the Prince of Peace. He made peace for us. How often do you find him in the Bible saying, peace be with you. My peace I give you. Not such as the world gives. I give to you my peace. He knows what peace is. God is the God of peace, we're told. And he shows it here and he can give it to us. Many of you can testify to this. You were going through a great storm in your life, whatever it was. And yet in the midst of that storm, you said, I'm at peace with God. I sense this. I'm not panicking. God is with me. You can testify to that. Share that testimony if you know some people that are beginning to panic. Parents, with your children. If this pandemic gets worse, maybe your children will become afraid. Maybe neighbors, relatives. About 300 years ago, John Wesley came to the United States, to Georgia, to be a missionary. But he wasn't a Christian yet. You know, that tells us not every preacher is a true Christian. John Wesley wasn't. Very dedicated. Knew the Bible. Studied Greek. Studied at Oxford. But he was a failure as a missionary because he didn't yet realize he was not a Christian. So on the ship back to England, as he gave up, he wrote in his diary, I came to convert the Indians, but oh Lord, who will convert me? And then on the trip back, God sent him a storm. And that little ship was up and down, and the sailors were screaming, and they thought they were all going to drown. And Wesley was afraid because he realized, I'm not ready to meet God. But there were some Christians from Germany on the ship. They were Moravians, and their leader was Peter Buhler. And Wesley said they were all at peace, and they were praying and singing psalms. And he could not understand this. So he goes over to them and says, how can you have such peace? And Peter Buhler explained, it's because we know Jesus and he's with us. If it's our time to die, he'll take us down. If it's not, he'll save our lives. We're trusting in Jesus. And he witnessed to John Wesley. And a few months later, Wesley was converted, among other reasons, because he couldn't forget this wonderful personal testimony of these Christians. God can give us peace in a storm. Let me give you another illustration from my life. When I was, I was 13 years old, and I grew up in New Orleans. And as you know, every few years a hurricane comes toward New Orleans. And I grew up, every couple of years there would be one to the west of New Orleans. I remember Hurricanes Audrey and Hurricane Donna. And then to the east. Oh, I remember Hurricane Camille, the second most powerful one to ever hit the United States in August 1969. And I remember Hurricane Hilda that hit New Orleans. And I particularly remember when I was 13, Hurricane Betsy, September 1965. And for weeks, the weatherman was saying there's a disturbance out there in the Atlantic Ocean, and then it's coming into the Gulf of Mexico, and And then day by day, the winds were a little bit stronger and more clouds. And the weatherman saying, it's coming straight for New Orleans. So you know what happens? Everybody starts stocking up supplies and filling their cars with gas, buying extra food, medicine, toilet paper, you name it. I grew up with that. So this isn't unusual to me what we're seeing today. And then it began to hit New Orleans. And so the weatherman was saying, hunker down or get out, be ready, this is very dangerous. And then I still remember when the mayor, Victor H. Skiro, came on television and said, go for higher ground, get out. Thing is, in New Orleans, there is no higher ground. It's 10 feet below sea level. To the south, you've got the Mississippi River. To the north, Lake Pontchartrain. To the west, the Atchafalaya River Basin. And to the east, the Gulf of Mexico. Completely surrounded by water that's higher than the city. And we were afraid we're going to get flooded just like Katrina 15 years ago. So my dad said, okay, let's go. Everybody pack up. So we got some sleeping bags and blankets and pillows and food and flashlights and said, get in the car. We're going down to my office on the fifth floor downtown, and the floods will not reach us there, so let's go. So we all packed up, and about the time we left, the electricity went out. We were in the dark, like in this story here, and driving down, I'll never forget it, the only thing you could see were occasionally a headlight and the eerie greenish-blue glow of the power lines that had been broken and was swinging and making this humming, crackling sound. Very scary for me and my sister and my brother. And we drove, and the wind is shaking the car, and the signs were doing like this. We got down there, went to my dad's office. About the time that the hurricane hit in full force, like this one in the story before us, and the lights were out, we had flashlights. And then for several hours, we could hear that wind blowing, and then we would hear glass breaking all over downtown. These big windows on the skyscrapers crashing, and my parents would say, get away from the windows, because if it crashes, that'll be like 1,000 blades of razor blades shooting through the air. Get away from the window. Get over here in the hallway. You know, when a hurricane hits, when it first starts, kids think, this is cool, this is fun, listen. Then after a while, it stops being fun. And you're scared. When the lights go out and the window starts smashing, and you are afraid like these men in the story here. So in that hurricane, we were hunkered down. We felt safe with our parents. We're praying, I guess, as best as we could. And then something very unusual happened. Within just a couple of minutes, about 2 or 3 in the morning, got very quiet. No wind, no broken glass. We were in the eye of the hurricane. You see, a hurricane is not like the storms that blow through the Midwest. Hurricanes, like tornadoes, they swirl like this as they move, and in the dead center is the eye. It's very peaceful. So when Hurricane Betsy went over New Orleans, it was eerie for just a short, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes, it was eerie, quiet. Again, you could have dropped a feather. And my parents said, we're in the eye of the storm, but in a few minutes, bang, it's going to hit us again as it passed. And that's just what happened. And it's hitting with full force. And then for the next so many hours, it got slower and slower. And then later the next day, it had passed, and we're able to go back home. Why do I tell that story? When you're in a storm, go to Jesus, and you'll be in the eye of the hurricane and know the peace of God. Just like Jesus at the bottom of the ship, he can either stop the storm or give you the peace in the storm, like the eye of a hurricane. In Mark 4, the disciples went to Jesus, and at least that's one good thing. They had very little faith, but they had enough faith to go to Jesus. I wonder what they expected him to do. Lord, don't you know we're perishing? We're about to drown. Do something. They didn't expect him to stop the storm. I wonder what they expected him to do. But the example for us is, go to Jesus in prayer. But don't be like the disciples that rebuked him and said, Lord, don't you care? We do that when we have low faith. We go through a trial, a storm, and we cry out to God, kind of rebuking God. Lord, don't you care? If you cared, you wouldn't let this happen. Does he care? Yes. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. Isaiah 43:2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. God can give us peace in the storm. Many years ago, a London newspaper ran a contest and asked the readers to send in pictures that would epitomize what peace is. So most of them sent in a picture of a beautiful pond or a garden or of a rainbow or a sunset or a little boy in a fishing boat. You know, a garden, peaceful. The one that won the contest was a picture of a storm with the trees bent and the wind blowing, but you couldn't help but see in the middle of the tree a bird nest with the mother bird with its little chicks around it at peace in the storm. That's a picture taken from the Bible. Did you know that? In Ruth and several times in the Psalms, it talks about under the wings of God. You know those verses. And it's the verses that Jesus alluded to over in Matthew when Jesus came to the city of Jerusalem for the last time and said, how often I would have gathered you as a hen gathers its chicks, but you were not willing. The picture is this. You that were raised on farms know exactly what it is. Out in the barnyard, near the chickens and the roosters and the little chicks pecking away, and here comes a storm. And what does the mother hen do? It clucks in a certain way and flaps its wings, and all those little chicks come a-running. Mother hen lifts up the wings, the chicks get underneath it, and the wings go down, and those chicks feel at peace. They can even sense the mother's heart beating. They are at peace in the middle of the storm. And Jesus said that. He says, come to me and I will give you rest. And it's as if he lifts up the wings and says, come to me, my chicks. But unfortunately, most of the Jews did not come to Jesus. We can come to Jesus like the mother hen, and we can find peace under the wings. In fact, someone wrote a hymn like that. Under his wings. Brethren, storms will come your way. Not just this pandemic, other storms. When I counsel couples that are preparing to be married, I always bring them into one session where I say, you know, it says in the wedding vow, for better or for worse, in sickness and in health. I said, now let's talk about some of the bad times that could come your way, and almost certainly one of them will. And they look very serious at me, and I say, okay, you could have a major health affliction, financial ruin, this, you could have a breakdown, you have to care for your wife, something like that. And I say, but if you really love each other, you'll stick together and draw near to God. Prepare for these storms. And also lay up spiritual provisions, like people are laying up provisions for a hurricane, for the pandemic. Lay up provisions in advance by faith. Know the promises of God, so when you're in a storm, God can use those promises in your heart, and you put faith in them, and you experience peace. Back to the story, it wasn't the time for the disciples to die. They didn't know that. But Christ knew it was not his time to die yet. Remember several times they tried to stone Jesus. They tried to push him off a cliff once. And it says, wasn't his time to die yet. And then later on, during that last week, he says, now the time has come. Jesus knew and he had peace. Bible says our times are in God's hands. We don't know. God knows. So we can trust God and know that our time will come. Brethren, the time will come, we'll face the worst storm of all, the storm called death. It may be during a storm or a pandemic, or you just might pass away in your sleep. But that storm will come to every one of us. The time will come when Jesus will say to us, as he said to the disciples, come, let's cross over to the other side. And at that moment, Jesus will come to each one of his children and, as it were, takes them by the hand and says, peace be still. Let's pass over to the other side. And when we get to the other side, brethren, no more storms. There will be peace in the valley at last. May that promise encourage you and give you peace in the storms of life. Let us pray. Father, our lives are in your hands. We trust in you. You send storms, you stop storms. You give peace. Increase our peace as you increase our faith so that we can know your peace in whatever storm we go through. We trust in you and we thank you for Jesus, the captain of our souls. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.